How many thank you for little kids? Amen. And thank you for the teachers who's willing to pour into them. Are you ready for the message this morning? You know, I'm just so glad that when I pray on Saturday, Lord, I need a word for Sunday. It's not that I don't prepare all week, but Saturday comes and the crunch is coming. Sunday is coming. So I'm just so amazed how God, time and time, give me a word. Isn't that amazing? You seek his face and it gives you something. And you know, it's from him. It's not your own thought because I'm not that smart. Freely received, freely given. I've been preaching about the Lord's Prayer. And we're now coming to the second line. The kingdom come, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But before we do, would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's not actually part of the Lord's Prayer, but that's an... So there's one line that is not in there that most of you say. What's the last line of the Lord's Prayer? For his is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Okay? In Jesus' name, amen. So, the first line is worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It is worshiping our living God. The second line is petition. Give us today, no. Our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the next one is, give us today our daily bread. So that's petition. That is asking God for something. But what are we actually asking God for when we're asking God for his kingdom? What is that? What does that really mean, that God, I want your kingdom to come? Jesus says in John chapter 3, he says to the Nicodemus, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And he goes on to say, born by the Spirit and water. And so being born again means that you enter his kingdom. But there's many other references to his kingdom in the Word. In fact, there's 150-some references in the New Testament to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so I'll just read you some of them. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many like some peace and joy? In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of... Excuse me? Okay, let's read that together. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's not just words. When the kingdom comes, there is transformation of lives. In Matthew 16:19, it says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Many theologians believe that what it's saying is that whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And it's saying like this, when the gospel goes forth, when the good news of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross goes forth, the people who receive that by faith, they are already being forgiven. They are already saved because of what Jesus did. How many knows that Jesus died for the sins of the world? That means all of humanity for all times. And so it is really our sins already covered. But only as you have faith, it doesn't apply to you. So when they give the gospel and faith comes, they receive what has already been done in heaven. How many says amen to that? Let's go on to the next one. In Matthew 6:35, it says, "If you seek the kingdom, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What are all these things? All these things. What are they? Food, shelter, all the basic needs are going to be met if you seek His kingdom. That's a promise. God will provide for your needs. How many likes to have a God who provides for your needs? Somebody said, that's all right. Okay, how many of you ever laid awake at night because you worried about your needs being met? Okay, one guy, two guys. Some people are honest. Most people worry because their needs are not being met, right? That's why they worry. And God says, stop it. Hello? Stop it. And seek Him first, and you'll be amazed. How many of you ever feel that God has provided for you? In amazing ways. Here's Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ouch. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there is some requirements. And there has to be an attitude of submission to God. An attitude that it is not my will, but it's got to be His will. If you want the blessings of the kingdom, you have to surrender your will to His will. How many knows what I'm talking about? In Matthew 12:18, it says, "But if it's by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And so when somebody is being delivered from demonic powers, the kingdom has actually been manifested in their life. Freedom has come. How many has ever seen that? It is powerful when the kingdom of light comes to replace the kingdom of darkness. In Matthew 4:23, it says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." It was obviously when there was healing and deliverance that the kingdom was manifested in their midst. In Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, it says, "As you go," he's not talking to the disciples, he's talking to you. How many here are disciples of Jesus? "As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Freely you received, freely give. How many here, I'm going to hang on with this for a minute. How many here has been given something for free? How many here has been given something for free from God? If you didn't put up your hand, this prayer is for you. My prayer is for you that the kingdom would come on you. Some of you have forgotten what Jesus has done. It has put in the back burner. The cares of this world has taken away that joy of the first love. And if that's for you, then this prayer is also for you. Your kingdom come. His kingdom come. For some of you who have never experienced what He has freely given you, the revelation hasn't come. And if that's for you, I'm going to pray for you today too, that His kingdom come. His will be done in your life. I was meditating on for myself. It says, "Hans, what has God done for you, Hans?" And you see, a couple of thousand years ago, before my mother and father ever met or even thought of me, and before the world ever knew I existed or would ever exist, there was somebody who stepped out of heaven and stepped into this world who has me in mind already. It says in the Bible, before the foundation of the world, he knew you. And this person called Jesus, born in a stable, walked among humanity. And one day they took him and they grabbed him and they tore his clothes off him. And they falsely accused him of blaspheming. But you know what they also accused him of? Being a king. Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are a king?" And he said, "Yes, it is as you say, but my kingdom," in John 18, "my kingdom is not of this world, but it is of another world." And then Jesus, he went on the cross. And on the cross, my sins, my filth, my messes was nailed onto him. He took my debts. He took my rebellion. And when he gave up his last breath, he took yours as well. For all the people in the past, for all the people in the future. And when he rose again, it's as if he looked in my eyes and says, "Hans, I rose from the dead. The enemy could not kill me. And now can he kill you? As I rose from the dead, so are you also rising from the dead. And as you rise from the dead, you're rising from your past. You're no longer living in the past. You're living in the future of his kingdom. He's looking in your eyes when he rose again. He says, I have risen from the dead that you also may rise from your past. That everything you have done, being a sinner or a victim, has been erased. And here is a new identity. You are my son and you are my daughter." That's the gospel and is the good news of the kingdom. Freely receive and freely give. How many knows that if the water doesn't run, it becomes stale? If you say to me, "Hans, I am born again. God has shown himself real to me. I have been forgiven. I am a child of God. I am risen. I am destined for heaven." You know what? You need to give it to somebody. If God has healed you, you need to pray for somebody who's sick. If God has blessed you with finances, you need to give it to somebody who needs those. You see, many of us tends to get stuck in the pew. "Thank you, Jesus, for 35 years ago I got saved. And now I know I'm going to heaven." But that reality is growing pretty dusty. And the people around you is going to hell. And you don't even care. I know it's harsh. I'm not talking to anybody here, actually. I'm talking to myself as well. Thank you for listening to my talking to myself. I want to tell a story. How many has neighbors who needs Jesus? Hallelujah. If you're born again, if you know that Jesus has freely given you salvation, then you have something to give. I was talking to Bob this morning. He came in excited because he has been ministering to some people on the Haven colony. And some of them have given their hearts to Jesus. Can I just say something? Bob, I'm using you. Can I just say something? There's nothing as exciting as sharing your faith with somebody. Amen? Amen. So I want to tell you a story. I love stories, okay, that speaks to me. And it comes out of a book called Mighty Is His Name. And it's about a Cambodian pastor, Suthul Ong. And I don't know if I pronounced it right, Suthul Ong. But Suthul illustrates about the kingdom. Suthul grew up as a Buddhist in Cambodia. And his father sent him to become a monk in a Buddhist seminary. And he hated it. He wanted to escape, so he talked to his older brother. And his older brother said, I'll help you escape. And he escaped from Buddhist seminary. And his father and mother disowned him. I don't know if you know anything about Cambodia, but there was a war that broke out in the 70s with Khmer Rouge, a communist regime that was just horrendously evil. Well, it broke out, and in the meantime, this man had a sickness. Ong had a sickness, and he fell down, and he became unconscious. He was slain. They didn't know whether he was going to live or die. In the meantime, his older brother had gone to learn English in a church run by American missionaries, and he got saved. And he got a call that his brother was laying in the hospital and didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And he went and found his brother and took some pictures, went back to the church, put the pictures on the wall to pray for him. And one lady in the church who had a very prophetic anointing said, go back to your brother, he's going to be healed. He goes back to Ong and says to his father and mother, I'm going to pray for my brother. And they said, who are you going to pray to? Because we have prayed to our God for a long time and nothing happened. He says, I'm become a Christian and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And they said, okay. But if nothing happens, I'm going to throw you out of the window, his father said. Good motivation. So he prayed for his brother. And his brother got healed. How many believe that when somebody is healed, the kingdom is manifested? 3 days later, the whole family goes to the church. And in that service, they all give their hearts to Jesus. Ong is now born again. He knows that God has freely given him grace. And then he has a burden for the church. And that means for the lost. And he goes and he preaches. The Khmer Rouge imprisons him and his wife for 3 years. They're in prison. They only see each other once a year. Then they're released. The Vietnamese communist comes and they release them. And because he has some education, they make him mayor of the city. And as he's a mayor of the city, he starts churches and he preaches. Because God has given him a burden for the church and for his people. Then the Vietnamese become suspicious because they're also communists. And they're suspicious that he is a CI, whatever it's called, American agent. And he's a Christian, American Asian, and he's there to spy on them. And they catch him, put him in prison. And in the prison, they torture him. And he cries out, Lord, I cried out. You called me. I opened a church and preached the gospel everywhere possible. What have I done to deserve this? Why am I being treated this way, Lord? Nothing changed. Months after months, he was tortured. He was starving. One day, He was crying out and says, Lord, where are you? I'm so alone. And suddenly he remembered Paul and Silas. When they were in prison, they began to sing. So he began to sing. There's a river of life flowing out of me. How many knows that song? There's a river of life flowing out of me. Where is Janet? Come on up here. And as he did, I got to understand, he said this, I was hungry, I was hurting, they had pulled out my fingernails, they had tortured me with electric shocks. He said, I was weak, I had little strength left. It took all my willpower to begin to sing. But when I began to sing, I got a knock on the door, on the wall. The prison next door. He said, did you get some food? No. Did they set you free? He said, I'm free. But not of these chains. I'm free on the inside. And then another knock on the door. Well, from the next prisoner. What did they give you? Why are you singing? And he was able to share the gospel with the prisoners who were sitting dying, and many of them did die. But before they died, they heard the good news. And every day for months, he will sing, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Let's sing it.
I don't need the mic.
You can all join me.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly.
If the kingdom is in you, you have a river flowing in you. And no matter what you face, it's still there. He realized that God has placed him there, that those around him are going to be saved. Although many of them died, they came to know Jesus because of his son. Eventually, he had enough. And he said, Lord, take me home. He said he experienced the presence of God come in a powerful, amazing way in the cell. And he really thought that he was going to go home. He was going to die. But then he heard God said, Ung, you're not to eat anything until I tell you. And you're not to say anything until I tell you. Now, there wasn't anything to eat, so it was no big deal. But then the next day, three ladies came in with a bunch of food. I mean, you can understand, he eating rice and water. And he had to eat it like a dog because they chained his hands. And sit in front of some meat, you know, real Saskatchewan beef. I don't know. They was tempting, but he heard God. Remember we read the scripture that unless you obey the will of God, his voice, he knew he had to obey. He refused. For 3 days, he refused. The sergeant came in charge of the prison, and says, why is this guy not eating? And then the lady said, we don't know. Is he dying? Yes, he's close to death. Well, then take him, throw him out in the river. See, God had a plan for how to release him. That night, a truck came with two guys in them. They threw him in the back of the truck. And those two guys went to the liquor store, bought some booze. And all night, they drove around drinking. And as they were getting more impaired, they began to say, you know, that guy in the back there, he's not a bad guy. Why don't we just drop him off somewhere else? And Ong heard their conversation, and he began to pray, Father, please, listen to them. help them influence their thoughts, the decision. How many things does that probably a good prayer? And they drop him off by the hospital. In the morning, a cleaning lady found him and brought him into the hospital. And they brought him into the hospital, and there they put him up to IV, and they helped him, gave him some food and cleaned him up. And so he met a Christian doctor in the hospital. And a Christian doctor arranged for him to escape because they knew that the moment they discovered he wasn't in the prison anymore, that he was alive, they were going to come for him. So he got out of the prison and he escaped. And him and his wife decided, we better get out of the country. We better go to Thailand. So they went. She was pregnant. And they walked for weeks. And one day she said, I'm going to have a baby. And he said, couldn't you wait a little bit? There's only another week of walking. But babies don't wait. And he bowed down, and in desperation he said, Father, I don't know how to do this. And honestly, if my wife was pregnant and I had to deliver, I would pray the same prayer. And he said it was like an angel came and knocked on his back and says, I'm a midwife. Do you need some help? He doesn't know where she came from, but she helped deliver this baby. And they had a baby boy. And he said the next day, they rested for a few days, and then they started walking. And they had two other kids with them. And he said one day, a gangs came and they pulled a pistol and said, give us everything you own or we'll shoot you. And he said, I only have $20 in my pocket. He said, I don't believe you. And if you lie, I'll kill you. He said, that's all I have. And then suddenly a boldness came on him. Well, you're freely given, give it away. So he turned to the gangster and he said, listen, I'm a born-again Christian. And this is what Jesus did. He healed me. He delivered me from the killing fields. That's another story. He healed me. He delivered me from prison. He got me out of the hospital. This is what Jesus has done for me. And I want to tell you, he can do the same for you. And he began to preach about the gospel of what Jesus has done to this gangster and says, I don't lie to you. I'm a Christian. And the gangster said, you're different. And he said to his friends, he says, take all your stuff, silver and gold, and give it to them. Amazing, huh? When the kingdom comes, there is provision for all your needs. Now he walked for another 2 weeks up in Thailand in a camp. And that's a whole miracle itself. Now if you've been given some wealth, you live in poverty, you've been living in starvation, you don't know the future, what would you likely do with your wealth?
Not spend it.
The first thing he did, freely given, freely give away. He went and asked, where can I buy some food? They said, there's a village nearby and they sell food. He went and bought hundreds of bags of rice and he fed the whole camp. He set up church and he had thousands of people come to his service. And for 3 years, he ministered the gospel in the refugee camp in Thailand. And every one of them got a Bible. With the help of YWAM and others, he was able to hand out Bibles. And thousands got saved before they returned to Cambodia. I mean, it says, praise God. Here was a man who knows he's been freely given grace. And he was ready to give it away, even at the cost of his life. Now, I need to say one more thing. Jesus, come to the United States. He ended up immigrating to the United States. But his wife had cancer. And for whatever reason, God did not heal his wife. He His children was very distraught. And he felt that God says, I'm taking her home. But this is what he said in Luke 9:62. He said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. No one who looks back when they put a hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom. He said he doesn't understand why God heals so many people. And in his book, he has testimonies of many people being healed and raised from the dead. But his own wife passed away. But he says what most of us have to say. When you put your hand to the plow, stop looking back. You may not totally understand why God answers some prayers and not others. But my friends, God is in the future. And your destiny is in his hand. Amen. He goes to the United States. And in the United States, he starts churches for Cambodian refugees. Eventually, he feels called to go back to care for the orphans and the widows in the States. And to make a long story short, basically, that's where he still is. Powerful man of God. Because he was willing to give away what he had freely received. In Jesus' name. My friends, there's a man called Paul. He was bent on destroying the church. He was bent on destroying the Christians. And on the way to Damascus one day, he went to get permits to imprison the Christians. And many times that meant they were executed or killed. And he encountered Jesus. There was a flash of light and he was fell to the ground and he heard the voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. He encountered Jesus Christ and he was graciously changed and transformed by the kingdom of God. And then this man called Saul, that has written most of your New Testament, became so burdened by what? God's church. That he spent the rest of his life giving away what he had received. And listen. Listen to some of the things he says. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, for Christ's love compels us. It was his love that compelled him to go to the ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians 6:11 says, oh, dear Corinthians, friends, we have spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. There's no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your heart to us. He's like a love letter. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, but brothers and sisters, we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time. In person, not in thought. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For you wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. How many can hear Paul? He loves the Thessalonians. He longs for them. My friends, when the kingdom comes, there is a love for his church. And when you stand in front of Jesus, the reward is people. Freely receive and freely give away. that some people next to you, where you live or in your workplace, who needs to hear what Jesus has done in your life. And if they stand with a gun to your face, be ready in season and out of season to share his grace. How many believe you have something to share with somebody else? Amen.